Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
All right, everybody, if we don't do anything else, if you're a believer, lift up your hands and exalt the name of Jesus. We've come to exalt the name of the Lord and to lift Him up, for His Word says, His Word tells us in all things to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. We don't thank Him for all things, but we give Him thanks in all things. And Lord, we lift You up today. Now I pray that You would just take Your Word and use it to comfort Your people. In the name of the Lord. And everybody say amen. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the New Testament, the book of 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 1. And as you are preparing your hearts and minds for the word of the Lord, know that Teresa Stanley, she and her team will be at the stoplights today taking donations. So if you would choose to give that way, you're welcome to do so. And I think that's very kind of her. Teresa is a servant to this community, and we sincerely love and appreciate her. DeQuincy has endured its storms. Just not even a year ago, we buried two seniors from DeQuincy that was killed in a tragic accident. And now here we are with Madeline and this situation. But here's what I know. I know that as a church and as a community, we faced tragedies before, and the Lord has brought us through. And the Lord is going to bring us through this one. Because we're strong, and we're strong because we're not alone. And we have each other. And most of all, we have the Lord on our side. So the Lord is going to bring us through. To all of our guests, how I approach this is a little bit different than what I would typically maybe bring on a Sunday, but I feel it's very important that I take the word of the Lord and do my best to bring comfort to His people. As I said this earlier tonight, Pastor Anthony Mangum is going to come and bring his God's word, and through God's word, he's going to bring comfort to this church, and it's going to be a real treat for us to have him. I'm asking that you would contact those that you know are members of this assembly, those who are going through a difficult time. Tell them that the Lord has a fresh word for them to hear tonight, and they need to be in this service. Everybody good? Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast because we know. Everybody say this with me. Because we know. Say it again. Because we know. One more time. Because we know. That as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you participate of the consolation. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Lord, we thank you for your word. Now take it and comfort your people in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. My brothers and sisters, our hope this morning is firm because we know. What you know is going to get you through life. Can you say that with me? What you know is going to get you through life. If you don't know the right things when the winds of adversity blow and the tsunamis of life come against you, if you do not know the right things, then you're going to be blown away and you're going to crumble. When the greatest of tragedies and the losses of life, which are inevitable, come into your life, if you do not know the right truths, you're not going to be able to stand spiritually. Our hope this morning is firm. Why? Because we know. We know, brothers and sisters, the anchor of the soul. We know the captain of this boat. And we know that on Christ, the solid rock, we can stand. Everything else is just sifting sand. Our lives this morning are not built on the sifting sands of popularity. Our lives are not built upon popular culture. These things change quite often. Fads come and go. You can wear something today that's in style, and 6 months, 8 months later, it's out of style. But the word of our God shall stand eternal. And because we know these truths, this church is going to endure the storm that we are in. Our lives are built upon the solid rock, the bedrock, which is the Word of God. So that even though we have changes and griefs and sorrows and despair, the Word of the Lord is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He has ever comforted us, He will continue to comfort us. Because His Word tells us that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. And I don't like to say this as your pastor because I love you and I love you deep. But to be very honest with you, I must tell you that all of us are going to go through tough times. If you live any amount of time, there is no way that you are going to escape the seasons of loss, the seasons of mourning. For the scripture tells us there is a time and a season for everything under heaven. So you're going to experience loss. We know that. Here's what we also know. There is no growth without change. And there is no change without loss. And there is no loss without pain. And there is no pain without grief. The price that we pay for loving deep, the price of love, is grief. And the reason why we're all grieving this morning is because we have loved deep. And when you love deep, you can't help but grieve deeply. So we're going through losses in our life. And you need to know what I'm about to bring you this morning. If you're not going through a loss right now, then I just pray that you would tuck this lesson away, make some notes, because unfortunately, the day will come when you'll need to pull these notes out and you'll need to remind yourself, how do I make it through a bad day? Here's how you make it through a bad day. What you know is what's going to get you through. That's how you're going to make it through a bad day. And the first thing, if you want to take notes, because you will need this sooner or later, you need to know this. You need to know that life does not make sense. You need to know that. Life does not make sense. But we know that we can have peace because God is with us, He is in us, and He is for us. We can have peace knowing that even though we're in the midst of the storm, that the Lord will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will be with us even to the very end of the age. And we know that God loves us. Life is often confusing. Many times there's more questions than there are answers. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, we simply don't know why. We don't. We're always asking why, the why question. Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? Why did my husband walk out on me? Why did my wife pass away with cancer? Why did I lose that job? Why did I go through this divorce? Why was my 17-year-old killed in a fatal car accident? Listen to me. We're not going to know why on this side of eternity. We're not going to know the answers to why on this side. You're just not going to know. Life does not make sense when you look at it. Bad people prosper and good people suffer. It rains on the just and the unjust. And life is not always going to make sense. All different kinds of things happen to people in church, out of church. So what do, Pastor? Well, in our grieving, there are some stages of loss that I want to talk about. The first one is shock. I'm still shocked at what happened at around 4 o'clock on Friday. It just throws your world upside down. You don't expect it. When something like this happens, I had a young lady that held me very tight last night, and she said, Pastor, just please tell me that this is a bad dream, and I'm eventually going to wake up. I looked at that sweetheart, and I said, baby, I wish I could tell you that, but I can't. And because we love deeply, we're going to grieve deeply. That's the price of love. A number of us are in shock this morning. We're shocked. You are shocked when you lose your job, when you lose a spouse, when things don't go according to plan and a loved one dies. The first thing you experience is shock. And that shock could last for days. It could even last up to a month. But then when we move on from shock to sorrow. And when you move from shock to sorrow, you now begin to grieve. And sorrow is a godly emotion, but shock is a human emotion. God was not shocked at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. He didn't say, wow, I never saw that coming. That was a surprise to me. Shock is human emotion, but sorrow is a godly emotion. The reason why you and I can cry and laugh and get jealous and get angry is because those are all emotions that the Lord has. And you are made in God's image. That's why you are made in the image of God and you're able to love because God loves. Ants don't love. Spiders don't love. Only humans understand love. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. Now, sorrow is a godly emotion. And the Bible says that God grieves. The only reason why you're able to grieve is because you're made in the image of God. I'm going to get very personal with you. I remember when my mother passed away the Sunday before Mother's Day. She passed away with bone cancer. And we watched my mother. She elected not to have any chemo. That was just her choice. She didn't want anything. That was her choice. So we watched a very healthy, vibrant, godly lady deteriorate before our eyes. And I shall never forget the day of visitation with my mother. I remember exactly where I was at. I could take you to the place. One of my closest friends walked in, flew in from out of town. And when he came to greet me, I let out the deepest wail and moan that you've ever heard in your life. It came from the very pit of my soul. But can I tell you that that was one of the best things for me? Because grief is a God-given emotion. And I want to tell all of TPC, God never asked us to stuff our emotions. Because there's a healthy way to grieve and there's an unhealthy way to grieve. There is a time for everything. And this church right now is in grief and mourning, and that is okay. Because the scripture tells us this, that he comforts those who mourn. Do not, I don't give people, even, I'm not saying this is wrong of you, I don't give people tissues when they're crying. Because then that's a sign to them you need to stop. Every tear is healing. And that is an emotion that God has given us. And if I'm not wrong, and I believe I'm right, according to the scripture, God literally bottles up every tear that we shed. So it's okay for us to grieve. The Bible says Jesus was a man acquainted with sorrows. He understood sorrows. Grieving is a good thing. Grieving is a way that we get through the transitions of life. So when you start off with shock, then you go to sorrow. And then the third level is struggle. When you get to that struggle stage, this is where you ask why. Why, God, did you take my loved one? Why did I lose this job? Why am I the one going through a divorce? Why am I the one having to endure this bankruptcy? And you're going to ask a lot of questions, but ladies and gentlemen, hear your pastor. You're probably not going to get the answers. We've been taught, many of us have been taught, you don't question God, you don't ask why. But can I tell you, on the cross, Jesus asked the why question. Yes, he did. He said, my God, why? And guess what? No voice came out of heaven. Because here's an old saying, but it's a good saying. When the student is taking a test, the teacher is normally silent. And God spoke on the Mount of Transfiguration. And a voice spoke when the Lord was baptized. But he never spoke when he was on the cross. You say, where was my son at when he got killed? Where was God at? I'll tell you where God was at. You hear me? God was grieving and crying because he had a son dying on the cross. And God was grieving and crying over the loss of his only begotten son. Where is God at when I'm grieving? He's right there grieving with you. Because he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We do not serve a stale God. We do not serve a harsh God. We do not serve a God that is like hugging a refrigerator. You can run up to the Lord and you can hug him. And I'm going to tell you, he is your Abba Father. And you can get in his lap. And you can weep, and the Lord will understand, and he will comfort you. I'm going to tell you, church, it is okay to ask why. It is not a sin. But the test of your faith is, what do you do when you don't get the answer? Because you're most likely not going to get the answer. Jesus didn't, and we probably won't. If you want to get out of your struggle, and then you want to get into peace, then you've got to get into stage four, where I call it surrender. Surrender. And surrender is when you stop asking the why questions and you start submitting and you start surrendering and you start accepting. Surrender is the path. Say this with me. Surrender is the path to peace. If you want peace, then you're going to have to go from the struggle and just say, okay, God, I may never understand this, but I surrender. And once you begin to surrender, then you stop wrestling and you start accepting. And then that's when peace starts coming. Again, if I may be candid with you, I was angry with God because I did not understand why God would take my mother, a godly woman. I can remember walking into the house one day, and I looked at my mom as she was in the kitchen, and I said something, and then I said, doggone it. And my mama said, oh, baby, please don't ever say that word. And she was sincere. Please don't ever say that. I was like, Mama, come on. And she said, oh, no. No, I don't want to ever hear you say that. I was never allowed to say anything like that. Slang, none of that. Wasn't allowed in her presence. Not because she was better than everybody else. She was just a godly woman. And then I wonder, you know, don't make sense. Don't. It doesn't. Doesn't make sense. I look at people like Mick Jagger. They get on a stage and they twist and tort their bodies and they sing all over the world and they've been with no telling who and did no telling what, and yet they're still living. My mother's a godly woman that could be a witness and salt and light, and yet she's in a grave. And I'll tell you this, I hope it helps you, but I'm going to tell you the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and asked me one question, simply this: Wayne, are you an owner or are you a steward? And that sounds very simple, but for me, it was very profound, because it was at that point I realized that I came into this world with nothing and I am going to leave with nothing. And all of my relationships and any dollars that the Lord blesses me with, I am to manage it. I am not an owner. I am a manager of God's resources. And when you understand that and you get that into your spirit, then you realize I came in with nothing. And I'm going to leave with nothing. But while I'm here, I want to be the best manager of the resources that God has given me. And when you get that, then you understand that I am just a steward of what God gives me. I'm not an owner. And when you can get to that place, then surrender starts coming. Then you go to stage 5. It's a big word, but it's a word called sanctification. And sanctification is when God starts bringing good out of bad. When God starts making changes in you, your personality, your character, he starts doing some things using this, what is very negative, but he uses it for a positive thing. And it's kind of like a transformation from a caterpillar that goes through the metamorphosis to a butterfly. And sanctification is when God starts making you more like him. And you're never going to be like God. I want y'all to stay with me this morning. You're never going to be like God. You're never even going to be a little God. The New Age movement says that you and I are gods. Well, if we're gods, how come we haven't solved the world's problems? We're not even a demigod or a mini God. We'll never be a God. But you know what? Through our pain and sorrow and suffering, God can take that and make us more godly. He can take that and make us more like him, so that we're more loving, we're more patient, we're more kind, we're more gentle. If there's ever an hour that this community needs a church that is loving, gentle, patient, and kind, it's today. And we need to allow God to work through us to help heal the hearts of this community. And then this is where God takes your greatest pain and turns it into your life message. All of you, please hear me this morning. God wants to take the very thing that you are most embarrassed about, that if you could, you would put whatever that is in a little box, and you would put it in a safe, and you would throw away the key. God wants to take that very thing that you're most ashamed of, that you regret it happened. He wants to take that and use it for the good in other people's lives. I looked at Vicky this morning. She walked into my office and I said, Vicky, whatever you do, sweetheart, don't allow your pain to be in vain. Who better to comfort someone than a person who's lost a daughter in an accident? Who better to comfort a divorcee than somebody that's been divorced? Who better to comfort somebody that's had a loss of a spouse than someone who has lost a spouse? And here's what I want to tell you. God will take your greatest test and make it your testimony. This is a cliche, but it's good. God will take your mess and make it a message. Don't hide your pain. Don't let your pain be in vain. The way you connect with people is not through your strengths. The way you connect with people is through your pain, through your sorrow, and through your weakness. Your ministry comes out of your pain. Here's what I want you to know. That no matter what stage you find yourself in, the stage of shock, the stage of struggle, sorrow, sanctification, surrender, whatever stage you are in this morning, understand this, that you are not alone. You are not by yourself. God is with you and God loves you. This is what we know, that God will never leave us and He will never forsake us. And we can know that even though we're going through the storm of our life, we can have peace even though life doesn't make sense. Can I keep going? I want you to know that you do not have to go through this alone. There's over 6,000 promises in the Word of God. Remind yourself of that. Let me show you just a few. I want you to look up on the screen as you look at Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. One translation says you'll go through rivers of difficulty, but you will not drown. You're going to go through it. But the good news is that God will no more let you drown than what He let the Apostle Peter drown. He reached out and He pulled him out. God will reach out and He will pull you out. He'll pull you through. The rivers of difficulty will not overflow you. You'll not drown. Then it goes on to say, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Someone asked, how you doing? Here's my reply. It's the word of the Lord. We're devastated, but we're not destroyed. We're cast down, but we're not out. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. How you doing? I'm devastated, but it's not going to consume me, because I can have the peace that will surpass my understanding. And I know that God loves me and I can always depend upon Him. And this is what I'm sure of. I am sure of the steadfast word of God. I would rather walk with God with none of my questions answered than to walk through life without Him and have all the answers. Why? Because when in pain, I want you to hear this, when in pain, explanations don't help. If right now I could go to Mr. Robert Main and Olivia, and if I could go to Sister Barry, thank you. If I could go and if I could give them as their pastor all the answers to why, it still wouldn't bring them back. If they had every answer, every T crossed, every I dotted, it still would not bring their loved ones back. So you could have all the answers and you're still going to feel the loss and the pain. So when you go, I've got to figure this out. Why did this happen? Why? And you're why did my mom die? Why did this one leave me? Why did this one walk out? And you're looking for explanations. Explanations don't help. You don't need an explanation. What you and I need is the Lord. And we need the Lord to comfort us, and we need the presence of God. If you had all the answers, it still wouldn't lessen the pain. So getting an explanation, you thought, man, if God could just tell me why, if you got it, it's not going to make you feel any better. So hear me, TPC, none of us need an explanation. What we all need is God, and we need His presence. And one day, Paul tells us that this veil that we look through, this glass darkly, the darkness is going to be pushed aside. And here's what I believe. I believe literally the first second that you're in the presence of God, everything is going to make sense. I don't mean to be rude or ugly, but your brain and my brain right now is just not big enough. We see through a glass darkly, but the day's coming where we're going to see Him face to face. And God has not promised to give you and I an explanation for why everything has happened in the world, but He has promised that He's not going to take you through anything that He's not there with you. I want you to look at this next verse and we'll be closing. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I want you to look at this. This is the Lord speaking here. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's God speaking. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You may have been abandoned by a parent, you may have been rejected by a spouse, you may have been told, here's your pink slip, we don't want you here anymore. You may have been rejected by life and society, but God is never going to abandon you. God will never reject you. Through your intense pain, He will never leave you. And sometimes we're tempted to think God has forgotten us. I'm going to tell you, here's what we know. His word says that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. That we can call upon Him in the midnight hour. He is our comfort. He is our strength. He is our peace. This is what we know. It is impossible for God to forget you. You say, how do you know that? Because He created you as an object of His love. God's never created one individual that He says, I'm not loving you. Are you with me? He created you as an object of His love. You were made by God to love you. I'm going to bring you another verse that I pray comforts you. I want you to look on the screen in Isaiah 49 and 15. Here's my translation. A different one. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast or the child she has born? And of course, the answer is obviously no. No woman can be nursing a child and forget the child at the same time. So he says, even if it were possible that a mother could be nursing her baby and forget that baby that she's nursing, even if it was possible, he goes on to say, I will never forget you. Look, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. Where did he get those engravings? On the cross. On the cross. Nail-pierced hands outstretched, and he said, I love you so much it hurts. But I love you so much I'll never leave you by yourself. And I'd rather die to have you than to live without you. Have you ever thought about this? I just thought about it yesterday. In heaven, no one will have scars but Jesus. And the only reason why that Jesus is going to have scars, He's going to remove all of your scars. I've got scars on my lip from where I was hit as a child. I got a scar on my leg where a nail went through it. I've got some other scars on my body. Every one of those scars are going to be erased There will never be a trace of any pain or sorrow or hurting or suffering. But God's going to keep his scars. You know why? Because your names are written in his hands. And he's just going to make sure I'm never going to forget my kids. And every time I look at my scars, I'm going to remember your name. I'm going to remember how much I love you. I'm going to remember how much I gave for you. Would you stand to your feet and lift up your hands and thank him for those scars? Would you thank the Lord right now? Hallelujah. It's impossible for God to forget how much he loves you. What can I walk out of here with, Pastor? You can walk out of here knowing. What can I know? You can know that God loves you and he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You can walk out of here knowing that the presence of God is going to go with me. And I've got 6,000 promises that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. And the promises of God, they are yea and they are amen. Let's pray. Would you bow your head? Lord, as I look at all your sweet people this morning, me and Janet, Trey and Molly, we love so deeply. Our lives are intertwined. And I know that we're hurting this morning. But I thank you for our church family. And I pray that your word would prepare us to stand on the solid rock of truth, and that we're not blown away when the tough times come in our life. I pray, Lord, that you will prepare us to stand firm and to help others. Help us to want to know you better and to become a man and a woman of faith. Everyone under the sound of my voice, I pray that they would want to fulfill the purpose for which you made us for. Help us all to remember that we're not alone, that you're always with us. You're always thinking about us. You always love us. You'll never abandon us. Help us to build our lives on those truths. Help me to remember that you're a good God, that you have a good plan for my life, that your plan is to give us a future and a hope. And even when life's a battle and everything is broken, help me to remember that this is not the end of the story, that we win in the end, that we win in the end, that we win in the end. And that ultimately there is a place where there's no more tears and no more sorrow and no more mourning and no more crying and no more death. Now I want you to pray this out loud with me. I want you to open your mouth and I want you to repeat after me. Say, Jesus, as much as I know, as much as I know how, I give you every area of my life. Say this with me. I open myself up to you. Make yourself real to me. I want to learn to love you more. I want to learn to trust you more. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Now, if you meant that, raise up your hands and cry out to God.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in De Quincey. TPC, loving God and loving people.